morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, we are glad to have you with us worshiping on this Independence Weekend. We are Calvary Church of Enfield, Connecticut. I'm Steve Thayer, the pastor. And if you would like more information about us, you can go to our website at www.calvaryenfield.org. There you can ask to be put on our mailing list in order to find out more things that we have going on during the week where you can be encouraged and to grow online. You also may make a donation through our online giving portal. Though the church building is closed, the ministry of Calvary goes on, and we depend upon the support of God's people to continue the work that God has called us to do. If you have a concern for which you would like prayer, would encourage you, you can send that by email to prayer@calvaryenfield.org. And in doing so, you can either simply share your concern and someone from our prayer team will pray for it, or if you would rather have someone pray with you over the phone, include your phone number and a few convenient times when you can be reached, and someone from a prayer team will get back to you. I would like to remind the people who are part of the Calvary family that we will be having our virtual coffee hour 10 minutes following the initial broadcast of this service. I would encourage you to grab a cup of coffee and tea or tea and sign on by Zoom following the link that was sent out by email yesterday. As we prepare to come before the Lord in worship, let us pray together. In you, eternal Father, and through your Son, Jesus Christ, we find the beginning and end of all things. In him, we find hope, forgiveness, and courage for new beginnings. Let then, O God, the fresh winds of your Spirit sweep into our lives this day, so that this act of worship and the week to follow may become a time of renewal and rededication in your service and for your glory. Amen. Let us join together in our call to worship. Your love, O Lord, reaches the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice is like the great deep. How priceless is your unfailing love. Your people feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. Let us worship God together.
Surrounded by
God, you're great and greatly to be praised. Let us continue to worship and lift up the name of Jesus through that great hymn of Charles Wesley, "You Servants of God." God, we honor you and worship you. We give you all honor and blessing with the angels, with all the saints, and with all the saints. We give you thanks for your infinite love to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you that in him we have forgiveness. In him we have the promise of life. In him we have a new and living hope. And that even though we turned away from you and continue to turn away from you in sin, we have the promise of the gospel that as we come to you in repentance and faith, we know forgiveness and we can walk in that life and in that hope forever. Let us worship God and praise God and honor God for the living hope that we have in Jesus.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. And through the dark, your loving kindness spoke through the word, oh, of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. Savior, I'm yours forever.
As we prepare to hear God's word to us, let's join together in prayer. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Scripture lesson for this morning is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, beginning at verse 1, which, by the way, was the text of Jesus' first recorded sermon that we see in Luke chapter 4. Listen to the word of God. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and release for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, a day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Here ends our scripture lesson for this morning. And the text for this morning is the final verse of this passage. They will rebuild the ancient cities and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Now, there are two ways one can go about having a place. One is to build something new. Another is to restore something that's been there for a while. And truthfully, the reality is that restoration, in many ways, is a much more difficult process. It requires dedication and patience and hard work, but the result can be amazing. In this passage, Isaiah looks forward to the day when God will restore and transform cities and regions long devastated. You might call it the ultimate renovation or the ultimate restoration project. Now, we don't have time to go into the background of the text too deeply, but suffice it to say that God's people were facing a future at this point that was not very promising. They were facing the reality of judgment. Their nation had been overrun by its enemies. And that which had been, you know, a source of wealth and pride to them was now depressed and devastated. But even in the midst of this, God promised not to abandon them, and that the day would come when he would send a deliverer. He would send one who was anointed by the Spirit to bring good news, to bring healing, to bring comfort and freedom to those who were broken and bound. And so the picture we see here in Isaiah is of this healing and this restoration going out in ever-expanding circles to God's people, to the nations, and ultimately embracing the entire heavens and earth. It is ultimately a vision of restoration in the extreme, where the earth comes to the place where it is full of the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. And that's consistent with the rest of what we see in Scripture. As you look at the whole of God's story from beginning to the end, it could be summed up as God's work in the world to restore and to bless and to make new. And how would God do that? Well, the passage points to a Spirit-empowered deliverer whom God would send for the purpose of bringing blessing and restoration. And in Luke's gospel, Jesus used this passage to point to himself as the one through whom was doing this good work. And so we look at Jesus' ministry and we see this manifest. Jesus manifested this promise by sharing the good news that brought release from sin and captivity, by bringing healing and deliverance from those who were bound. And that was a picture of God's kingdom and of God's intent of bringing restoration ultimately to all of creation. But it's interesting to see what Jesus did with that. That early, very early, he began to give this work away. First to the 12, then to the 72, and then ultimately to all his followers. He gave them the privilege of partnering with him in this great work, in this great work of proclaiming good news, in this great work of binding up the broken and hurting, the great work of bringing sight to the blind and healing to the broken and freedom to the captives. And that is the call of the church, to be bearers of the kingdom, to be bearers of God's blessing, to be restorers to God's original intent. God put us in the world as the means by which he would do his work. Jesus didn't build an organization saying, you know, if you happen to be interested in religious things, come and join us. No, he placed a people in the world to be his presence and to continue in his work of restoration and blessing. The events that we have watched unfold in the past weeks demonstrate that we live in a nation that is in need of the restoration that only God can give. A restoration not of infrastructure, but of spirit. The events of these past weeks and the reactions from various sides to them show that we are far from the ideal of E pluribus unum, but that we are a people divided by politics and ideology, divided by status, divided by gender, divided by region, divided by unhealed wounds of race and ethnicity. And God desires to restore and make new. You know, we are a people that are all too often focused on our own concerns. You know, we get our news and commentary from the networks or the websites that we happen to agree with. You know, we read the media of people who think like us. And all too often, we do not so much talk to each other as talk past one another. And unfortunately, all too often, Christians seem to be just one more special interest group seeking to promote those things that are comfortable for us. But that, sisters and brothers, is not our calling. In the midst of a broken and a fallen and a hurting world in need of restoration and hope, we are called to be restorers. We are called to be people who bring blessing. And I'm going to suggest there are four ways in which we are called to do that. The first is that God's people become restorers when they realize that God desires to bless. You see, God is not indifferent to communities and nations. He doesn't focus attention on people who join themselves together in these things called churches and lets the rest of the world go to hell. But God desires to pour the blessing of life and hope and peace and prosperity into the people of all communities and all nations. We see that from the beginning to the end of scriptures, that God's vision is a vision of shalom. It is a vision of flourishing. It is a vision of peace and wholeness that he desires to spread and reform and renew the whole creation. And we are to be people through whom the blessing of life and hope and peace are poured into that which is around us. And so we need to understand that God is not indifferent to this world. He's not waiting for things to get bad and then he's going to zap his people out of it. But rather, he weeps over this world. He loves this world. And he desires to restore and bless. Second, God's people become restorers and bringers of blessing when they reflect the heart of Jesus. As we look at Jesus' ministry, the most of it was spent in training his followers. And not so much training them in, you know, skills and ideas, you know, not teaching them evangelism 101 or how to preach or, you know, how to administer a church, but seeking to instill his heart within them. A heart of unity that draws together. A heart that longs to seek what is lost, heal what is broken, restore what has fallen away. A heart that is outward focused, that goes to the least of these. The heart of a servant that was willing to give and to suffer and to sacrifice that God's redemptive blessing would be made known. A heart, most of all, of radical love that reflects the love of the Father in coming to redeem a lost and broken world. And God's people become restorers and bringers of blessing when we allow God to reform our hearts in that way so that we too weep over what God weeps over. So we too have God's concern for the least of these. So that we too have God's heart that his shalom should be spread into the point where the earth is as full of the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. God's people become restorers when we increasingly have the heart of Jesus. Third, God's people become restorers when they see themselves as a conduit of God's blessing. when we come to understand that the means by which God blesses those around us is through people like us. Now think about it for a moment. What would happen if each of us prayed every day, Lord, show me one person to bless in your name. Show me one person to bless in your name. You know, I think for one thing, our eyes would be open to needs that are around us more and more. Our eyes would be open to opportunities that there are to bless and to restore. Now, we know that the greatest blessing is the gospel of Jesus Christ that brings someone from death to life and gives them a new and living hope that we sang about just a few minutes ago. But there are other ways in which God desires to bless through us. There are also practical ways in caring for people around us who are in need. In sometimes just giving a kind word or a smile to a stranger. You know, it may be in working, in the midst of this broken world for reconciliation and justice. It may be simply having civility and kindness in our interactions. Even those we're part of on social media. But we become restorers and the bringers of blessing when we begin to see ourselves as the ones through whom God is going to do this. Finally, God's people become restorers when they pray. You know, ultimately, we are called to be used by God to bring blessing and restoration. But I don't know about you, but I know that I don't have any power within me to do that. I can barely keep my own life straight most of the time. How can I bless or restore someone else? Well, I can't. But we serve and we trust in a God who can. And it is through the reality of prayer that we release the love and the grace and the power of God into the world. It is through prayer, someone wrote, that we touch the nerve that moves the hand of divinity. May we be a people who pray for this kind of restoration, who don't just kind of throw up our hands and say, oh, ain't it awful? Or don't just say, well, I wish it was like it used to be. Or don't simply have the attitude, oh, let's hope after the next election, everything gets back to normal, because sisters and brothers, it's not. But rather become a people who cry out to God that God would do what is necessary to bring restoration and blessing to our communities and to our nation and ultimately to the world. You know, God's people become restorers when they step out. God's purpose is to bring restoration and healing and renewal to all of creation. And the means by which he has chosen to do that is the church. Now, we may wish there was something else, but the reality is there is no plan B. We are the means that God has chosen to do this. And so we are invited, we are encouraged to step out in faith, in obedience, in love, seeking God in prayer and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and look for opportunities, many of them very small to start, by which we can bring restoration and blessing to the world around us. And what would happen if everyone who claimed the name of Jesus were to begin to do this? What would happen if each of us in the next week, you know, prayed or every day, Lord, show me one person to bless and do that? Well, I believe that we would see over time ever expanding circles of blessing that would begin to rebuild and restore broken hearts and lives, begin to bring healing to strained and broken families, begin to bring hope to whole groups of people who feel that they've been left behind, begin to bring opportunity for people to enter into life, true life, in Jesus Christ. You might be thinking that's a nice ideal, but is it practical? Well, historically, it has happened. A book that I read many years ago had a profound influence on my thinking in this area. It was written by a professor from Johns Hopkins University. It was called Revivalism and Social Reform, which looked at Protestantism before the Civil War. And in that book, Smith looked and he looked at the relationship between revival and action within the church to make a difference. And what he discovered was remarkable. You know, usually when we think about revival, we think about God coming and blessing the church and building up the church and bringing more people in the church so that the church could be blessed. But what he saw, and what you can see in other places historically, that in the great revivals that swept our nation between the 1820s and the 1850s, they did have the effect of drawing people by the hundreds of thousands to Jesus during that period. But out of that, something else happened. The heart and the conscience of the church was kindled. And out of that was launched a series of endeavors that came to be known as the Benevolent Empire to address the ills of society. Endeavors for literacy and for justice and for prison reform. Endeavors that sought to reach out for the poor and those left behind in the culture. Indeed, much of the energy of the abolitionist movement came out of that revival of religion, which also gave people the heart of God and new eyes and a new vision of how God desired to bring restoration to a lost and broken world. This movement, revival movement, was also the impetus behind the first wave of the modern missionary movement in America that would take the gospel to the ends of the earth. You see, revival didn't bring more focus inward on the church, but it helped them see their calling as restorers and bringers of blessing. We live in a world in which the brokenness and the division and the hurt and the dysfunction is all too apparent. May we be a people who can make a difference. May we be a people who seek the Lord, who ask God to give us His heart, who seek God to change our attitude from inward focus to outward focus, that we may be a people who are used by God to bring restoration and blessing to people around us in our lives, to the institutions that we are a part of, to the neighborhoods in which we live, to the communities in which we dwell, and ultimately as that ripples out to nations and indeed to all creation. Is it something we're going to accomplish by human effort? No, that's not at all. But as we seek and as we put ourselves in a place where we truly are saying, Lord, use us. May God make us restorers of the wall and rebuilders of cities for the glory of God. Amen. Let us pray. O God of salvation, we thank you and we praise you for your love and grace. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, not only so that we can be forgiven and know you personally, but also to build and expand your kingdom, bringing your blessing and your restoration not only to human souls and human lives, but to communities and nations and indeed across the face of the earth. And we pray, O God, that you would be at work in and through us as your people, that we might be people who walk in obedience to your call, who have eyes open to opportunities to bless, and are used by you to bring those ever-widening circles of blessing into this world which you created, this world which you love. And Father, on this Independence Day weekend, we would particularly lift up to you our troubled nation. As generations have stood before you in times gone by, remembering our heritage and thankful for the ways in which we have blessed, so on this day, on this weekend, we rejoice in the favor that you have graciously given us. We thank you for the blessings of liberty. We thank you for peace and for all those who have bravely given their lives in defense of freedom and justice. We thank you that your gracious hand has given us so much. Yet, as a nation and as a people, we confess that we have not always chosen the right way, that we have not lived up to the ideals that we profess. We have not always provided liberty and justice for all. And this has not always been a land in which everybody has the opportunity to better themselves. For all those ways in which we have fallen short of our aspirations and our ideals, we ask you to forgive. And we ask, O God, that you would bring among us a desire to live into those ideals which we profess as a nation and as a people. Lord, today we do not presume your grace for our country. We are in need of you. There are walls that are broken among us, that are cities that not simply literally but spiritually have been devastated for generations. There are peoples who feel they have been left behind and denied justice. And we pray, O God, that you would be at work to restore and renew. May we look only to you on this Independence Weekend, recognizing that we are dependent upon you. Please come and visit us with your Spirit. Breathe new life into this nation. Heal our divisions. Make justice flow like rivers and righteousness like a never-failing stream. Rebuild the ancient ruins, restore the places long devastated, and renew that which has been broken by our neglect and sin. O Lord God Almighty, in whose name founders of this country won liberty for themselves and for us, and lit the torch of freedom, grant that we and all people of this land, but particularly us as your people, may have the grace to maintain liberties in righteousness and in justice and in peace. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for all eternity. And now with the confidence that fits our position as sons and daughters of God, we pray together saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our next song is, in some ways, a vision of this kind of ever-expanding blessing of God. Let us sing together. Wonderful song. Hear our praises.
Justice bound.
remember who you are. You are a people who have been redeemed and loved and restored and blessed through the incredible grace of God in Jesus Christ. And you are a people who have been called as sharers of that blessing and that restoration. And now go forth from this time in the power and with the love of God, expanding the circles of God's blessing from God's people to those whose lives you touch, into communities and the nations and across the face of the earth. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.